Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to Skip's Corner, the podcast where I tell you about not only Nashville's great baseball history and traditions,
shot to right, a one-hop liner,
but certainly about its past. And you will hear a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
There are great stories about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, and the players, coaches, and fans who love everything about baseball. And every once in a while, you will get to hear from a special guest who will share their fondness and even passion for the great game.
It's a high fly ball down the right field corner, going way back, hits a leadoff home run.
I am often asked about certain all-time records for players and teams, such as who hit the most home runs in one season for Nashville, or who is the strikeout king in Southern Association history, or who played for Nashville longer than anyone. Those are not easy questions to answer, and if I don't know it from memory, which is a harder burden to bear as I grow older, then I have to do a little research. I've said it before, and I will say it forever, that I am not near as smart as Google search or for anyone at a place like the Tennessee State Archives or the Metro Archives who help in some way to find out information. But there are also books that have great information, and some of it is summarized and neatly printed to use as references, particularly to Southern Association history. Outside of online sources, which really make it easy these days so you don't have to take a drive down to the library, especially one out of town, there are a few books I look to first, but mainly the Southern Association in Baseball, 1885 to 1961, by Marshall D. Wright. Boy, the pages of my copy are just worn and dog-eared, and a few pages have torn because I've been in a hurry to skip through them. But it's been a valuable resource. It really is a concise history of the Southern Association throughout its existence. Another one is a little booklet, Vol Feats. It was written by Fred Russell and George Leonard of the Nashville Banner. And it's a concise historical record for the Nashville Vols from 1901 to 1950. And third, the Southern Association published a record book, not annually, but every so often, and that updated league records. I think the last one I have is from 1947. That one I use a lot. Books and online sources are fun to read because in many ways they save researchers valuable time in not having to fill out spreadsheets or documents for interesting records. For example, let me give you one. I always thought Nashville infielder Bill Rotta probably played in more games than any Vols player. He had 1,245 games in a Nashville uniform in nine seasons between 1931 and 1939. And I did a podcast about him a few months ago, and you can look for that, where I actually stated that I think that he played in more games than any other player in a Nashville uniforms. Well, I was wrong. A player named Doc Wiseman, I really enjoyed looking him up and studying him. He played in 1,401 games as a Nashville player. Now, that's a bunch more than Bill Rotta, almost a season more than Bill Rotta played in. And even though Rotta had nine seasons and played a lot more games during those seasons, Wiseman played in 1,401 in 11 seasons. Can you believe that? 11 seasons with one team? He may have the most at-bats, too, with 5,238, but I have not compared those stats with other players. Wiseman led the Southern Association in runs scored in 1902 with 111, and in 1907, he led in games played with 142 and in at-bats with 534, but otherwise, he was just an average player on offense. You see, his first season was the inaugural season of the Southern Association in 1901, so he played the first 11 seasons of the Nashville Vols. He appeared in 96 games that year, 1901, and had his best batting average at .333. But over the course of the next 10 years, He never batted higher than 279, and in fact, in his last season, he batted 223. Nashville won the pennant during his tenure in 1901, 1902, and 1908. Those were the early years of baseball's dead ball era, when pitching was king and small ball won ball games. But here's the question. Why did he linger with the team for so many years when there were others who had terrific seasons, such as second baseman Ed Apiticchio, who hit 360 in 1901, and then followed that with a batting average of 353 with 18 triples and stole 61 bases the next season in 1902? Or how about all-around player Justin Bennett? He played many positions for the Nashville Vols in 1904, and he led the league with 166 hits, followed by the next season by Frank Norcombe with 157 hits in 1905 to lead the Southern Association. In 1908, the year of the season-ending game in Nashville against visiting New Orleans that the home team won 1-0 to clinch the pennant, no player on Nashville's team hit over 300, although Wiseman had 30 stolen bases. But in a rare occurrence, this game, the season-ending game to decide the pennant, was halted in the middle of the seventh inning for a ceremony to honor Nashville's most popular player. The score was 0-0, and it was tense. Wiseman was awarded a gold pocket watch for 8 years playing with the local team, and it was inscribed with the following: presented to Julius A. Wiseman for efficient service, Nashville Baseball Club, 1901-1908. Now, it could have been a ploy by the Nashville Vols management because Wiseman was so well-liked, it was rumored that he was offered several different managerial positions. And this may have been a way for Nashville to hold on to him for a few more seasons. But in that seventh inning, when play resumed, Nashville loaded the bases, and who should be up but Doc Wiseman. With the score 0-0 and two out, he hit a liner to center, scoring catcher Ed Hurlburt. It was Wiseman who drove in the winning run, the only run. And sports writer Grantland Rice named it the greatest game ever played in Dixie. And you can read more about that game in a resource that I use. It's a book with the same name, The Greatest Game Ever Played in Dixie, by John A. Simpson. It's another resource for valuable information. Now, in 1909, no one hit over 300 for the Vols, or the next season in 1910. But in 1912, Wiseman's last year, Harry Welchonce had 157 hits and a 325 average to lead the league. Well, let's go to Wiseman's manager for one of those seasons, Bill Schwartz, who would leave the Vols after the 1915 season to become head baseball coach at Vanderbilt, a position he held for 19 years, but was Wiseman's manager in the last season that he played in Nashville in 1911. And Schwartz said this: almost every year, Doc would lead the outfielders in assists because he played at the bottom of the dump and threw quite a few men out at first base, he told Nashville Banner sports writer Fred Russell upon learning of Wiseman's death in 1953. Two, he would catch a lot of line drives that way. Now, speaking of assists, Wiseman held a league record for assists by an outfielder with 37 in 1902. And it was a record matched by future Hall of Famer Tris Speaker while he was with Little Rock in 1908. Now, you have to remember that Wiseman was playing in Old Sulphurdale, where the home plate was near the corner of Jackson Street and 4th Avenue, in the opposite direction of the ballpark when it was turned around in time for the 1927 fall season. And you remember that that was kind of a carved-out area with the outfield hills very high. But it was high back in those days, too, even though it was in an opposite direction. And right field, which was Doc Wiseman's position, was played very, very well by Doc Wiseman. Schwartz went on to say, I've often thought that in the present Dale, a right fielder would do better playing at the bottom of the dump. The balls he would handle there would be more than offset by the catches he makes high on the dump against the fence. And as for tall flies, he could still back up and get those. Now, you may remember hearing of the right field being referred to as the dump, even after the ballpark was turned around. And the dump, I think, is a reference to the city dump, which was across Fifth Avenue from the ballpark. Swartz said Doc was a real quiet person who always gave his best. He wasn't a long hitter, but he was dependable. He beat out many a bunt. He was an artist playing the old dump, and Doc was truly popular. Now, after retiring, Wiseman returned to Nashville on July the 10th, 1912, when he was presented with a diamond ring with a Masonic emblem inscribed on it between games of a doubleheader against New Orleans. To say he was popular was proven when it was reported the money with which the gift was purchased was raised by his fans. And during that ceremony, and blushing with embarrassment, Wiseman made a brief speech of thanks and declared Nashville and the fans would always have a tender place in his heart, and he would always be a Nashville booster. Having spent 3 days in Nashville, he returned to his home in Cincinnati just as he had each fall and winter, and worked in a post office. And after retirement from baseball, worked for the city of Cincinnati as a clerk for the street department. And known for his photographic memory, Wiseman was an expert on train schedules and different types of locomotives and freight shipments. And he and his father bought real estate, which turned out pretty well for them, too. When Wiseman died on April the 3rd, 1953, the old-timers began to tell stories about how good Wiseman was and how he navigated the old outfield hills. But perhaps Bill Swartz's words were the best ones. When I told you earlier, he said he was an artist playing the old dump. Born on May 15th, 1877, when he died, Doc Wiseman was 75 years old. And if you're wondering how he got the name Doc, Swartz said he got it from having studied to be a druggist. He aspired to be a dentist, too. But the name I like the best is often referred to in the newspapers when they call Doc Wiseman the GOAT. Not the abbreviated word for greatest of all time like we hear and read today, but for the way he navigated the right field hill at Sulphur Dell. The best GOAT of all time for Nashville.